Well, we'll take a little excursus this morning in the middle of our excursus, or we'll chase another rabbit in the middle of our rabbit chasing. And really this kind of ties in, but since we have some young folks with us, and we don't always have young folks with us, I kind of gear this a little bit more towards them this morning, at least as best I can. I'm just barely a good enough teacher to be a preacher. I'm not good enough teacher to be a teacher to young folks, but we'll give it a shot this morning and try to combine them all to some degree. And really, we're going to be talking about the same thing. We've been talking about the preservation of God's Word. And there's a narrative in Scripture, there's an episode that occurred that really illustrates a lot of what we've been talking about. First of all, what is this book here? You know, the Bible, and what's in it? It's God's Word. Very good, Cody. This is God's Word. And D.B. Ray wrote a little book that's called God Only Wrote One Bible. And that's what we've been talking about. And when we say God only wrote one Bible, we're not just talking about saying, well, it's just the one book and I've got it. We're talking about all the Bibles that have the same words in it, that those are the Word of God. And remember we studied and Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, in 2 Timothy 3:16. And when that word inspiration literally means God breathed. All Scripture is breathed out by God. The Apostle Peter wrote and said that the prophecy came not of old by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved literally means to be borne along. They were carried, they were picked up, and they were borne along by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just left up to them. They wrote the very words of God. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. God's Word was settled in heaven ever before it was communicated to man. There weren't any accidents. There wasn't anything left up for, you know, human interpretation or human ideas. God prepared men. He prepared their lives, and they were active in the process, and it goes on. There's so much in Scripture. I remember when I was in cemetery, you know, one professor said, well, you know, we believe in the inspiration of Scripture, but the Bible didn't tell us how it was inspired. It does. You know, they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. It's God breathed. Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians about how the Holy Spirit led them to compare spiritual with spiritual, and that He taught them, and God, you know, and God ordained. It's very clear. Just because they don't want to believe it, that's their problem. So God's Word, He only had one Word. He gave it by inspiration. It was breathed out by God, given to His men, and they wrote down. But beyond that, it's been preserved. Because these things happened thousands of years ago. They were written, God gave the words, and yet we still have them today because God has preserved them. And Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, not a jot or a tittle, you remember, will pass until all the law has been fulfilled. So that's what we've been to the point so far. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the prophets of God. You know what a prophet is? Does anybody know what a prophet is? What's a prophet, Cheyenne?
A prophet is like a man of God that goes around places telling people about God's messages.
He tells God's messages. Some people think about prophets and they think, you know, he foretells the future. Sometimes there's an element of that, but really what the word prophet speaks of is one who foretells the Word of God. And oftentimes it has a future element in it, and this prophet we'll talk about today was given by God what was going to happen in the future and the warning against Judah and Israel and the nations about. Well, this prophet's name was Jeremiah. Who ever heard of Jeremiah? You know, sometimes he's called the weeping prophet. Sometimes Jeremiah got discouraged. Sometimes it's not easy to, you know, go tell people God's word. Sometimes they don't like it. And Jeremiah would get all, he'd get all down in the dumps and he'd say, God, they're not listening to me. They don't like me. They threw me in a hole. I mean, you look at all the things that happened to Jeremiah. They weren't a whole lot of fun. And Jeremiah one time said, I'll quit. I'm not going to preach anymore. And he couldn't quit. Because God had called him and said, God's word's burning in me like a fire. And, you know, today, folks, the prominent message. You know, there's a health and wealth gospel. You ever heard of that? And it's big promotion. One fellow I saw, I can't remember his name. He's got a book he's selling now. You know, he's kind of in that same vein, and a bestseller. And it's this health and wealth thing. And one fellow made a whole ministry of it. That ministry today is in some financial trouble, I understand. But the father used to say, "Something good's going to happen to you." And if you know who it is, fine. If you don't, that's fine. But you know, Jeremiah had a message. You know what it was? He had a message for Israel, and it was, "Something bad's going to happen to you." And folks didn't like that. You know? But that was the message of God's prophet. And it didn't make for popularity. Well, we're going to look at one episode in Jeremiah's ministry. And Jeremiah 36, if you want to follow along. And really, we're going to kind of go through this chapter today. And we're going to see the narrative of what happens. And what does it teach us about God's Word? What does it teach us about the preservation of God's Word? And what we can know about those things. Verse 1 of chapter 36 in Jeremiah says this, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying..." Now this was about the time Jeremiah had been preaching about the destruction that was going to come on Jerusalem. And this occurs, according to what we have here, about 18 years before that destruction actually came. And here's what the Lord's saying: "Take thee a roll of a book," or we would call that a scroll. "Take thee a roll of a book," because that's how they wrote at that time. They had all the writings on the scroll. "Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, and that they may return, every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." And so Jeremiah had been preaching this message for some time, and he had been preaching it all over. And God, at this later time in his ministry, says, "Jeremiah, I want you to take and I want you to write those words down." Well, Jeremiah could say, "I don't remember all that." He didn't have to. The Holy Spirit remembers it. And it's passed down to the very words. And we'll see later on, the men who see the scroll are rather astounded. They say, "How did you write all that down? How did you know all that? How did you remember all that?" That's what they asked Jeremiah's secretary. And verse 4, "And Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neri, and Barak wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord." So Jeremiah dictates to Barak. And as he dictates, he writes down the words of Jeremiah, and they're the words, verse 4 says, "all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, "I am shut up, and I cannot go into the house of the Lord." From what we understand, Jeremiah, you know, we already know he wasn't very popular. There were various times he'd been put in prison, various times he'd been dumped in a hole. I mean, it was not... Jeremiah at this time evidently was under a house arrest. You know, he'd already made folks angry enough, and he was told, "You stay, you don't go. If you go outside your house, you know, you'll be arrested," and so forth. So Jeremiah was in some sort of house arrest. Barak wrote all these things on a scroll, and Jeremiah says, "I can't go out because I'm shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. I can't go proclaim these things. Therefore, go thou." So here's the servant of Jeremiah. Here's a fellow that was like Jeremiah's secretary. That was his ministry. "Go thou therefore read in the scroll which thou hast written from thy mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them into the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. And it shall be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and I will return every one from..." "It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and I will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger of the Lord and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch, the son of Neri, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So he goes forward, he takes the scroll. There it is. He goes forward, he takes the scroll, and he reads it to all the children of Israel. And if you go on, you find out that there was a special fast day, and they all come to Jerusalem, and he's reading from this scroll the words of the Lord, the warnings of the Lord. And I'll skip down to verse 11. Some of the folks there, not only did the people hear, but there were some of the king's agents there. There were some of the princesses. There were some of those who worked for the king, and they heard these things. Verse 11. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there. So this agent of the king heard those things, and he said, wow, somebody ought to know about that. You know, the king ought to know about that. The princes ought to know about that. And so he goes into the king's house, and he goes into the chambers where the princes are sitting, and he reads, or he tells them of this thing. And Micaiah, verse 13, declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi. Now, here's the princes around. They heard what was going on. He related to them the story. And the princes said, we need to send this fellow named Jehudi out to find Barak and to bring him here with the scroll. Now, Jehudi was what we would call the king's aide. Now, when I was in the Marine Corps, the generals always had aides. You know, the general would have a lieutenant that went around with him, or if he was a high enough ranking general, he'd have a captain that went around with him, and he kind of saw to the general's needs, made sure he had what he needed and what he wanted, and sometimes they didn't always get it just right. I remember one time the general came to our, he used to always come to the school I ran and give out diplomas, and one time here was the general sitting at my desk, and he'd go over our evaluations, you know, we'd fill out evaluation sheets for the course and whatever. The general's sitting there at my desk, and I'm looking at him, and he's sitting there looking like a buck private, because he didn't have stars on, you know, and he's getting ready to go address the class, and I said, maybe the general would like to put his stars on before we go address the class. And he said, yeah, you know, and he had his aide go get him and put him on. Well, the aide had messed up. But Jehudi was the aide for the king, and he was supposed to take care of the king and make sure the king knew what he had to know and had what he had to have, and he was kind of watch after the king. And so the princes, when they heard this thing, said, you know what, we better send Jehudi to go get a hold of this fellow Barak and have him come and read this scroll so that we can really get down to the matter of what this is all about. Then where was I? Verse 14. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Cushi, the son of Baruch, or unto Baruch, saying, take into thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So they said, Baruch, I want you to bring this roll. I want you to come to the king's house with it. Now, that would have been a little bit scary, I would think. But anyway, so Baruch, the son of Nahari, took the roll out of his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now, Baruch, you know what that word is in English? It's Cheyenne. Come on, Cheyenne. So Baruch, or Cheyenne. Now Jehudi was the king's aide. And you know what Jehudi is in English? Cody. See, you know, brother. And Jehudi in English is Cody. So Baruch read it in their ears. And so Baruch began to read the scroll. And he's going to read it for us now.
For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me in their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For the city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto
what do they think they are telling us? I'm the king. What do they tell us stuff like that?
That I should remove it.
Who do they think what they are?
My face.
That's enough sad stuff. I've had it. Take care of that for me. You know, the princes had already heard it, and they kind of told Baruch and to go hide and hide with Jeremiah. And then Jehudi read the words, and they, if you read, they were in the summer palace, and it was in the winter. It probably was in December. And they had a fire going, and we had a campfire here last night, but I didn't want to have a fire in the church. I thought there might be a problem with that. So we just used a modern invention here called a, what do you call that thing? A shredder. So... But there went the word of God, you know. King said, and it came to pass that when Jehudi read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it in the fire. And it was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed and in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, the first time they read it, Baruch read it to the princes, you know, some of them got kind of scared. And they said, this sounds scary. And they said, Baruch, you take off and you and Jeremiah go hide. And then they had Jehudi came and read it, and that's when they ended up cutting it up to the king. But then when they're over there with the king, everybody's kind of cutting up, you know, saying they're being real brave. You ever heard about, you know, whistling past the graveyard? You know what that means? To whistle past the graveyard? It's like, you know, you're going by it past the graveyard, you want to show how brave you are, and you and you go whistling back past the graveyard, but really down deep you're pretty scared. And that's what they were doing. They were kind of whistling past the graveyard. And it came to pass, verse 23, when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it in the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. You see, they put on a big show. That doesn't bother us. We're not worried about that. We're going to burn it up, and, you know, that'll be the end of it. Nevertheless, Elon Nathan and Adelaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. There were some folks there. There were some of the princes that didn't like it. And they were even brave enough to say to the king, I don't think that's a good idea. But he didn't listen to them. He went ahead and destroyed, if you will, burnt up the Word of God. Now, Jeremiah had up to this time, he'd been preaching these words verbally, and God told him to write them down on a scroll. And you know what that was? You know what just got burnt in the fire? The originals. The originals! You see, we don't worship ink. We don't worship parchment. We don't worship paper. We worship God. And we reverence His Word. And cutting up ink and paper doesn't destroy the Word of God. So they cut the rolls. They showed contempt, disrespect. And then they ordered, not surprisingly, but the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Ahimelech and Zechariah the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. So they said, okay, we're going to arrest those fellows. We'll burn up the scroll and we'll arrest Baruch and Jeremiah. Verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Now when Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, he didn't mean that they wouldn't be able to burn a scroll, or that, you know, your Bible may not wear out over time. But he meant the Word of God would be preserved, and God inspired again, and through the Holy Spirit superintended, there was a second original. Or a first copy. Whatever you want to call it. What difference does it make? It's still the same words of God. So Jeremiah prepared another scroll. And what's it say there? All the former words that were in the first roll. God superintends. God preserves His Word. God's providence. They tell the story in England, and I think may have been during the time of the Lollards and so forth, when they were trying to destroy the Word of God in the English, and they were paying so much for them to bring the English Bibles to be burnt, but they were paying them enough that for every Bible that was burnt, they could buy three more. So they were burning them, and then they were buying three more with every one that was burnt. See, it's not the paper and the ink. It's the Word of God that's preserved, that's passed from generation to generation, that we can hold in our hands today. I've never seen an original. I've never touched an original. But I have seen and have read, and we have the Word of God. And not only did he write all that had been there before, if you go on, it says, and thou shalt say unto Jehoiakim, verse 29, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this scroll, or this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. You see, all that had been there was before was in there, and then God gave him some more. And the some more said this. It said, Jehoiakim's not going to have any descendants to sit upon the throne. And when Jehoiakim dies, you remember when, you know what happens when the president dies? Boy, they have a big hoo-yah, don't they? They have horses, they have big funerals, they have all kind of stuff. And God said, look here, when Jehoiakim dies, he's not even going to be buried, his body's going to be thrown out to the beasts. You see, God's sovereign. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it unto Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah, look, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. God will preserve His Word. The heathen rage, you know, the peoples imagine vain things. God is sovereign. He will preserve His Word. You can take this Bible and burn it. You can take God's people and burn them. But God preserves His Word. And that word was preserved. And again, beyond that, it was added to it, you know, the things that would come upon the... So here was the second originals of Jeremiah's. But you know what? I've never seen them either. In fact, there's an interesting story about these second originals. A really interesting story, and I'll just skip ahead a little bit, all the way to Jeremiah 51. And verse 59. 51 and verse 59. The word of Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Amasiah, when he went in with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, unto Babylon, into the fourth year of his reign, and it goes on, Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, because he wrote about Babylon, he wrote about Jerusalem, he wrote about the others, even all the words that were written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said unto Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon, now here's what the second originals, and thou shalt see, Sariah translated, that is Chloe.
Chloe.
I didn't tell you that, did I? So he said, Sariah, you're going to take this scroll to the king of Babylon. You're going to take the scroll to the king of Babylon. And Jeremiah said, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see it, thou shalt read all these words. So he was going to read these words to Babylon about the judgment that was going to come on to Babylon as well as to Jerusalem. Thou hast spoken against this place and cut it off, and none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of the reading of this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it in the midst of the Euphrates, which is a great river. And so, the second original, according to the word of God, through his prophet Jeremiah, he commanded them to be destroyed. After they were read to Babylon, and it's a symbol, if you read on to Babylon, said, you know, just like those words sink, you're going to sink, buddy. And so, he took and he threw them into the Euphrates. Uh-oh. We lost the second originals.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, no. Something's wrong. We lost God's... No, we didn't. Because copies were made. And then we had, if you will, the third original. Or... the second copy, or whatever you want to... You know what it was? It was the Word of God. It's all the Word of God. Now, what if something happens to this one? Well, I got one right here. And you got one. You see, God has promised to preserve His Word. And so all those copies were the Word of God. You see, this is the Word of God, Cheyenne. This is the Word of God, Chloe. This is the Word of God, Chloe. This is the Word of God, Nathaniel, in a scroll. All those copies were the Word of God. God preserves His Word. In some ways, it's probably... Diane was talking one time about, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and where it is and, you know, if it's, you know, still got the tablets in it and whatever. Yeah. Folks are so twisted in their mind, they'd be out there worshiping them tablets or whatever. That's not the point. It's the Word that God gave and that He preserves. It's not the ink and it's not the parchment, but God preserves His Word. He's promised to preserve His Word. He's promised that we would have His Word. And so, and a very interesting example in the life of Jeremiah and in his ministry. That it, you know, it didn't matter if they cut up the originals. And we'll get, as we look more and more into this idea of textual criticism and so forth, a lot of these modern critics, you know, always want to say, the oldest is the best. Well, there's a lot of reasons, and they won't consider all the oldest to begin with. But the oldest is the best. And Listen, if it's God's Word, it's God's Word. And it, we'll be able to trace it and see it through history, and we'll see the, if you will, the oldest stream. But to say that, you know, the originals that were destroyed in that fire, were they better than the ones that were thrown into the Euphrates? Or the copies that were made from that, that were continued on and were read by the children of Israel? Or that we find in our Bibles today? God's Word is preserved to the very words. Not a jot or a tittle, the Lord said. And I believe that. And it doesn't have to be rocket science. Here's what the point will come down to, and we'll look at some details. And we've already talked about, if you look at our... even the liberal critics admit there's two different streams. Well, you just have to say, well, you know, what stream... can we could even possibly have a continuum through the ages? They claim they rediscovered one, found them in the trash can, found them in the back of the Pope's library. Well, and the parallel promises, the Lord said the gates of hell would not prevail against His church. You know, you can look at these things, and you don't have to have all the historic details. Which one can even make even any legitimate claim at all to have been descended and have been preserved through the ages? The Bibles that we hold today, and the Textus Receptus, and the Masoretic Texts, and that preserved stream of scriptures. They all contain the inspired words of God. People get caught up on that idea of inspiration. God only gave His inspired word once. He gave that inspired word to Jeremiah. You know, but God has preserved it. And so, this is the inspired Word of God. Not that it came down from heaven, you know, into my ear, but it was originally given to the prophets, and since it's been preserved by God, this is the inspired Word of God. And so again, when Paul could write to Timothy and say in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, and Paul was talking about something he had, not about something he'd never seen, or he'd never touched, and had been destroyed so long ago, not the original manuscripts. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. I've been wont to say on the political realm, and I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff, but, you know, we talk about the Bill of Rights and so forth. And, you know, they were not given to bestow rights. They were given to protect rights. And so I'm wont to say, you know, Second Amendment, we don't need no stinking Second Amendment. No, we still have God-given rights. Whether they're there or not. And the only reason I say that, because you've heard me say that, I'll say that about the originals too, and I don't mean it in a, you know, a flippant or sacrilegious way, but you say originals? We don't need no stinking originals. You know why? Because God not only said He would give His Word by inspiration, but God promised that He would preserve that Word. And that's, in a nutshell, kind of what we've been talking about. What a wonderful thing. That God deigned to communicate with His fallen creatures. That He deigned to give us His Word. And more exciting to that, since we don't have the originals, that He deigned to preserve that Word so that we can rightly say we hold in our hand the Word of God. And next week we'll get back into a little bit more of the mechanics of it and the details we were talking about, which maybe this was probably more fun. But it's important to know those things because the day and age in which we live in and the arguments that are made sometimes by ignorant but even well-meaning brethren, I suppose. But we need to stand for the truth of God's Word, the preservation of His Word. And more than that, by His grace, may we be obedient to it. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing together a closing hymn. And we're going to sing number 269, 'Twas in the Father's Plan. Number 269. Thank you.
in the Father's plan that Jesus died for me. To pay the price for sin, did go to Calvary. 'Twas in the Father's plan he left his glorious home to journey here to earth and save me for his own. Oh, hallelujah, what this mystery! Oh, hallelujah, grace has set me free. Before the world an order had begun, through faith in Jesus Christ, God sent me as his son. 'Twas in the Father's plan how his great grace for me, through time's long endless day, abideth full and free. 'Twas in the Father's plan in eternity I shall his face behold and in his likeness be. Oh, hallelujah, wondrous mystery! Oh, hallelujah, grace has set me free. Before the world an order had begun, through faith in Jesus Christ, God sent me as his son. 'Twas in the Father's plan before the world began, to give it to his son, it was his will and way. His word shall never fail, so come whatever may, with him I'll reign on high one glad and glorious day. Oh, hallelujah, wondrous mystery! Oh, hallelujah, grace has set me free. Before the world in order had begun, through faith in Jesus Christ, God sent me as his son.
Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this day that you set aside as yours. Father, we thank thee for our Savior and his atoning death. Lord, we thank thee that he accomplished all. There's nothing that we could add to it. There's nothing that need be added to it. Father, we thank thee that you loved your people and that you've communicated with them. Lord, we thank thee that you've given us your word and that you've preserved that word, that we need not lean to our own understanding. Father, we thank thee for this, your church. We thank thee for each one that's here today. We pray your hand upon them. Lord, we pray that you might guide and direct in our lives, that we might be the servants you would have us to be, that Lord, we might be witnesses. And if it be nothing more than a witness against the darkness that surrounds us, Lord, if it be a ministry like unto that of Jeremiah, Lord, may we have the grace to stand and proclaim your word. Proclaim the thus saith the Lord of Scripture. To stand upon your word that does not change and has not changed and that you've preserved. Father, again, thank you for your love that spanned in eternity was manifested on Calvary. And we pray in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.